Welcome to the Practical NLP Podcast with me, Andy Smith. Catch up on previous episodes at nlppod.com. The next few episodes of the podcast are all about frames, reframing, and parts. So what's a frame in NLP terms? All meaning is context dependent. When you put a picture in a frame in an art gallery, it changes the way people look at it. It becomes a work of art. Marcel Duchamp caused a revolution in the art world in 1917 with his work Fountain, which was just an ordinary porcelain urinal, but turned into a work of art by being placed in a display case in an art gallery. A survey of 500 art experts in 2004 named it the most influential work of art of all time. Incidentally, one of my heroes, Brian Eno, has written about how he managed to return the urinal to its original use while the gallery attendant's back was turned, with the aid of some plastic tubing concealed about his person. So the frame, or context, in which we view something affects the way we see it and the meaning it has for us. In the next few episodes, we'll be learning about the standard frames that NLP has identified and how we can use them. We'll also be looking at two methods of reframing ideas or statements to get people to change their minds by changing either the context in which they're seeing an event or the meaning that they give to it. We'll also be learning about the power of making a distinction between an action and the intention behind it, and about how to use John Grinder's change work technique called the six-step reframe, which you can use to mobilize the resources of the unconscious mind to deal with any problem. And we'll discover how to recognize and utilize incongruity and how to resolve inner conflicts and dilemmas using another powerful personal development technique, parts integration, which incidentally will give you some insights into conflict resolution and mediation in the wider world. So let's get started. Let's look at some standard frames talked about in NLP. Usually, as we register the world around us, we will be in a particular frame of mind which affects how we interpret the information we take in. Here are some of the standard frames that are widely used in NLP. The outcome frame. This is about evaluating events in the light of the outcomes you have set. These outcomes should, of course, be well-formed. Use the power model that we'll be covering in the episode about goal setting. This gives you a firm basis to evaluate each event. Does it help you to achieve your desired outcome or take you further from it? The ecology frame. What is the effect of the action or event on the larger systems of which we're a part? Family, team, organization, community, or the planet as a whole? Does it respect your integrity as a human being and the integrity of others involved? If you feel incongruent about a proposed action, this is usually a sign that you need to pay attention to ecology. The as-if frame. What would happen if some element of the situation were different? This is a way of exploring possibilities for creative problem solving. What would Richard Bandler do in this situation? Where will we be 6 months from now and how did we get here? What's the worst thing that could happen and how would we handle it? The as-if frame is the basis of contingency planning, computer systems testing, and science fiction. You can also use the as-if frame with a group to get them into the same frame of mind as if they'd already achieved the outcome by asking them what the outcome will look like, what will they see, hear, or feel, what effects will it have, etc. This will help them to believe in the outcome and feel more motivated to act. The backtrack frame. In the backtrack frame, you recapitulate what's been said in a meeting using the other person's key words and tonalities. This checks agreement and understanding of what's been said, helps to build rapport, and is useful to welcome new people to a meeting. It's also very useful to backtrack to the last point of agreement when a meeting gets stuck. The relevancy frame. If a participant in a meeting speaks or acts in a way that's irrelevant to the agenda or the desired outcome, the question, "How is that relevant?" can be used to bring the meeting back on track. The contrast frame. Here are two uses of this frame. You can contrast a desired outcome with the present situation or an alternative. This puts the outcome in more perspective and makes more choices available. Obviously, which aspects of the present situation you choose to highlight and which alternatives you contrast the desired outcome with will affect how the outcome looks. Or, in selling and persuasion, you can contrast one choice with another to put your favored choice in a better light. For example, showing a very expensive item first will make the next item feel like better value, even if it's still quite highly priced. Similarly, if you're asking your team members to take some action, it will feel much easier to them if it's contrasted with something much more arduous and difficult. The open frame. Using an open frame on a course or in a meeting or presentation provides an opportunity to ask any questions or provide any comments about the topic or subject area under discussion. For example, on an NLP training course, you might ask, "Is there anything whatsoever you want to ask about NLP?" The appreciative frame. This isn't part of traditional NLP, but it's worth knowing about. To use the appreciative frame, look at any problem, situation, or outcome in terms of what is currently working well and what you're grateful for. This gives an opportunity to re-access resources and seeds of solutions that might otherwise be forgotten. It raises morale and gives a sounder platform for moving towards your current outcome. The agreement frame. Everyone sees things from a different point of view. Expressing a different point of view can easily escalate into conflict if not carefully managed, especially if the other person's opinions have a lot of emotion attached to them. Usually, when people disagree with someone, they use the word "but" to preface their own viewpoint. "But" has the effect of negating or erasing the internal representation of what has been said before it, even if that internal representation is strongly positive, as in the case of, "I love you, but..." In fact, it can get to the point where when they hear a stream of compliments or pleasant things, they're just waiting for the "but," or as my friend Jonathan Otfeld says, they smell a "but" coming. "But" is not the only word that has this effect, though it's about the most abrupt one. "However" is only slightly milder than "but." It has nearly as much erasing effect on whatever statement precedes it. "Although" is a bit milder still, but could still get people's backs up. Not surprisingly, people don't care for having their truth blotted out. They may feel disregarded, disrespected, and angry. Not a good state for getting them to change their minds or even be open to new information. If you want to express your viewpoint while maintaining rapport by acknowledging another person's right to hold a different view, you can use the agreement frame, which uses "and" in place of "but." This is what you do. You could say, "I agree," if you actually agree with the other person's point but want to add a different or additional perspective. "I agree with you, and have you considered that it could also appear like this?" You could say, "I respect," if you want to show that you find something to respect in what the other person has said, despite disagreeing with it. For example, you respect the positive intention behind what they've said. "I respect your honesty in saying that, and you may want to be aware of this different viewpoint." "I appreciate." Even if you can't find anything to agree with or even respect, you can at least acknowledge the other person's opinion. "I appreciate the depth of your convictions about this, and I know you'll respect other people's right to a different view." Just as an aside, here's not what to say when applying the agreement frame. "I understand." This can sound patronizing. What the person hears might be along the lines of, "I have already thought of and dismissed whatever your little mind is capable of coming up with." Plus, if you miss or misunderstand any little detail of what the person meant, even if it's irrelevant to their main point, they can seize on it to demonstrate in their own mind that you don't understand them at all. Note the different internal representations of "but" and. "But" pretty much erases whatever goes before it, while "and" gives you two internal representations side by side, at least if the person is representing them visually. My friend Andy Jackson, who's about the best person I've ever met at taking NLP models and applying them in his work, in his case working with disaffected or underachieving young people, has a different language pattern for applying the agreement frame. If, for example, a young person is telling him how they can't do things or giving all sorts of examples to reinforce their low self-esteem, he might say to them, "What I'm seeing is someone who's survived a lot of challenges," or, "What I see is that you've learned a lot in a short time." Two elements to notice in this pattern. He's not saying, "I agree," or whatever, so there's no opportunity for the listener to challenge his sincerity. and he's making it explicit that it's what he sees, not something claiming to be a pronouncement of absolute truth. He's delivering a reframe, but leaving the original statement there as well. That's it for this week's podcast. Remember, you can see the show notes for this episode at nlppod.com, and you can download back episodes you may have missed from the online store at webstore.nlppod.com. See you next time.